Lots of channels, nothing to watch, especially if you're searching for the truth. It's time to interrupt your regularly scheduled programs with something actually worth watching. Salem News Channel, straightforward, unfiltered, with in-depth insight and analysis from the greatest collection of conservative minds, like Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Sebastian Gorka, and more. Find truth. Watch 24/7 on SNC.TV and on Local Now, Channel 525.
I'm Pastor Alan Jackson. Did you know that more than 80 million Americans daily depend on AM radio for conversation, news, weather reports, and emergency information? A new bill in Congress would ensure AM radio remains in cars, because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only access to vital communication. Visit dependonam.com to learn how to make your voice heard and keep AM radio in vehicles for the next generation.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 27th day of November 2023. Wow, this month is going by fast, and tonight we have... our producer is none other than Derek himself. Say hey, Derek.
Hi there.
Yeah, you do that. You do that very well.
Thank you.
Okay. And way out yonder, we know he's the legend. That's right, the legend. The Missouri parson, Pastor Joe Larson. Legend. Where are you, legend? What happened to Joe?
Oh, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
All right, hit the wrong button. Sorry. I'm trying a new Starlink thing, and I'm having to get used to it.
Well, you know, I've been telling people that you're going to say something, like, really brilliant tonight. And here, well, go ahead.
Really brilliant. Actually, I'm cut off on that one, right?
Okay, never mind. I'll take it to someone who knows what they're doing. We have with us from the Lake County Liberty Coalition, Nancy Morrow. She'll say something brilliant. Hey, Nance.
How are you, first of all?
That's brilliant right there. I'm okay. How about you?
I'm thrilled to be on. I remember when my husband and you were on together a couple of times. A long time ago, my husband, John Morrow. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're still close to our heart, and you're a celebrity. And I saw you at the last meeting at the Geauga Tea Party when they showed Police State.
Oh yeah,
I didn't have a chance to come up to you. What a movie that was!
That really was a movie, and you brought your folks from Liberty Coalition with you, and that was great. Yeah.
I really appreciate that opportunity.
That Police State, I would encourage everyone. Salem. Broadcasting is putting that movie out, and I would encourage everybody to see it because it brings them right to reality, doesn't it?
Oh, I mean, you walk out saying, you walk out saying, this is no longer the United States. we're living under a false sense of security. And if you haven't woken up by now, when will they wake up? The government's not going to save us. The government is not here to serve us, to save us. They're here to control us. And that's only Jesus Christ could stop all this.
Well, you're right. It's no longer government of the people, by the people, for the people. It's government against the people because it has been weaponized. The Communist Party has taken over, and this is the deep state. This is why we are fighting with everything we have to try to regain our freedom.
Yeah.
And so, anyhow, we're going to get into some of that because you're going to be talking a little bit here later on about Safe Blood Foundation. But right now, let's get into the scripture. And the title of the message was, do you remember, Joe?
Fear God and God alone.
Absolutely. Fear God and God alone. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what the Bible teaches, that we should only fear God. Now, in fact, 366 times in the Bible, he says either fear not or be afraid. Not to be afraid. Fear not.
Fear not.
Or be afraid.
Fear not.
Right. Let's go.
Be afraid, yep.
Now I'm going to start here. We're going to start tonight in Philippians. Actually, I'm going to go to Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. But before I do that, I'm going to do a little commentary. Now, in perilous times such as these days in which we live, people begin to feel distraught. Anxiety takes over, even in the lives of many of the saints. Now, I hear constantly, well, just recently, one, pray for my daughter. She had the kill shot, and she's with child. Pray that she won't lose the baby. Well, 81% of those women that did take the kill shot did miscarriage. So, but God does answer prayer. Then I hear this, Pastor, I think that these chemtrails are making me sick, Pastor. Please pray for me. They're making me sick. Then I hear, I'm afraid this 5G radiation is going to cause cancer in all of us. Please pray for us. And then, are we going to have a civil war? Are we going to have a civil war in this country? Pastor, it looks like we're going to have a civil war. It's a horrible, horrible war. Please, let's pray that we don't have a civil war. Are we headed for war with China and Russia, Pastor? So I hear these things daily. But then I think, what me worry? Listen, recently a good friend of mine who just called into the program last week, he called me. When I answered the phone, he says, why are you still alive? The question asked recently, okay? And then our own Pastor Hal here just recently said, do you know, Pastor, every time you go on the radio, you make a whole lot of people angry. Boy, you get the left, those on the left, you really get them mad at you, don't you? Yeah, I do that, okay. But that's my job, to tell the truth. Those that hate the truth hate God. And so here now, they were both speaking about this radio ministry exposing the sinister operation of the deep state, the illegal activities we see of the DOJ, the FBI, the NSA, the IRS, the military-industrial complex. Combine that with the exposing of the pure evil, and I mean pure evil, of the Democratic Communist Collective, planned predators, the most wicked, evil, ungodly, creeping, crawling purveyor of death on planet Earth, NARAL, ACLU, Antifa, burn, loot, and murder. One pastor called LGBTQ, let God burn them quickly, along with their church. And more and more, the Democratic parties, especially the governor of New Mexico, is joining the Church of Satan. Now, I can understand why, and this might cause some to ask, why are you still alive? Well, the answer is simple, and it applies to all others like me. God is not finished with me yet, and we see that all through the Bible, until he was finished with the saints, He kept them going. When he was finished with them, he let them be martyred, because their martyrdom built them up crowns and glory. And so here again, we just mentioned that 366 times in the Bible we read, "Fear not," or "Be not afraid." So fear will never do you any good and can always do a lot of harm. And so turn your fear. The Bible says turn your fear into righteous indignation and be angry, but sin not. And let's start now, Joe, in Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21. Go ahead and then pause.
For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working, whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself.
Now, Nancy, you can just jump in with a question or comment any time.
Okay, I will.
Verse 20, for our conversation. Now, that word conversation there is not used the same as we use today. The word in the Greek is politouma. And that word there means citizenship.
Yeah.
For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. Now, Joe, I know we're reading this, right? And the Bible says that we, even as Christians, right, have vile bodies. But Joe, don't tell a lady that she's got a vile body. They will not give you time to explain. Believe me, they won't give you any time to explain.
I've had to teach this in Bible study, and yeah, you have to explain it, that as long as we're in the flesh, we sin, and the Lord just judges all sin to be the same. If, you know, what we try and go, well, this is a lesser sin, this is a bigger sin. To God, sin is sin, and all sin is worthy of the wages of sin is death, period. So,
right.
Yes, Chizik, our flesh is vile.
Absolutely. Now, then he goes on and he talks about likened to the glorious. That means a glorified body. Now, what does a glorified body mean? Do you know what it means, Nancy? It means, one, you'll never age. Two, you'll never get sick. Three, you'll never become senile like some people we know. Four, you'll never die, okay? And you won't feel pain or hunger. None of those things.
That's what I tell people, because so much death and dying, I know right now, so many people and so many of my friends getting sick earlier than I've ever thought someone would ever get sick. But I do know that they'll be without tears, right? Without tears, without pain.
Yep.
Absolutely. Their existence in heaven will be to glorify and adore him.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And you know
what? Scripture says we don't know exactly what our Savior will look like, but we will be like him. So whatever form he comes back in, that's the form that we'll be like.
Well, a lot of theologians believe that we're all going to appear. Now, we'll look similar to the way we look now, but we'll appear at the age of 33.
I have read that.
Yeah, well, that's a common. Now, there's no place in Scripture that it says that, but there's inferences that's possible. And so, anyhow, let's go on. Now he says, who shall change our body that it may be fashioned like unto the glorious body according to the working. That's another thing right there. That word working is not used. Actually, that word means energizing, the energizing. If you look it up, it's affected in the Greek, it's energia, and whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Then we pick it up in verse 1. Joe, read verses 1 through 3.
Where, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Iodas, and beseech this, I'm not sure.
Syntyche.
Yep. that they may be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, to help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life.
That word subjectus means of the same, when it says the same mind, having the same moral values, having the same moral values. And so these two ladies, they were not getting along. They were having problems. You don't suppose we ever have problems with women in the ministry not getting along, do you?
I'll stay quiet on that one.
Wow. I'll tell you. Anyhow, so he goes and he tells. Now, here's another one, the word. He said, I entreat you, the true yoke fellow. Now, that's interesting because the word there is Suzagos, Suzagos, and that's actually a name, Suzagos, just like Joe is a name, you know, for us today, or Bob or whatever. But that's actually a name, and that name means yoke fellow, okay? And so here he's telling them, hey, Suzagos, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. He's telling them to try to see if you can, like, maybe be an intercessor here with Clement also. And with the other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Now, sometimes people get the book of life confused with the book of the living. The book of life is called the Lamb's book of life. The book of the living, David, remember what King David asked God not to blot him out of the book of the living? Remove it?
Yes.
That means that when your name is taken out of the book of the living, that means you're not living anymore, you're dead. And this, what it means, the book of life or Lamb's book of life is referring to eternal life, eternal. So once your name is written in the book of the living, it will be at some point taken out. Once your name is written into the Lamb's book of life, it will never be taken out. It'll be there forever. And there's seven different books the Bible speaks of, that besides the 66 books of the canon here, and you're talking about the book of war, the book of the law, and one of my favorite, okay, is the book of remembrance in Malachi chapter 3, the book of remembrance. And so God's got a very, very good memory. And let's pick it up, Joe.
What was that one? You said there was a book of life, book of the living, book of war, book of remembrance, and what was the other one?
Book of the law. And
book of the law. Did I miss another one?
I'm having a senior moment right now.
Yeah. Life, living, war, remembrance, law.
That's one. I'll have to
one
think
more
on that. Okay. But anyhow, he says, let's pick it up in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always.
Rejoice in the Lord. Oh.
Go ahead.
Always. Always. And again, I say rejoice.
Okay, you know what?
Let your moderation.
You know, he's telling them to rejoice in the Lord. He's talking to the church there in Philippi, the Philippians, and this church is a very, very poor church. And even though it was a poor church, it was had great, great trials of afflictions. And yet, even in their affliction, there was a lot of persecution taking place there. But they were still joyful. They still had the joy of the Lord in them. And that's what Paul was talking about. So go ahead, let your moderation
be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand.
Now, why would he say the Lord is at hand?
Because when you're born again, you are going to be indwelled with the Holy Spirit of God. You will have God dwelling in you, and that's a personal relationship with God himself.
That's true, but what he was referring to here is both Paul, Peter, they all were expecting the imminent return of the Lord at any time. They expected the Lord to come back time.
Okay. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
And that's what he was referring to. Now he says, go ahead, Job, read the next verse.
Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.
So if we were to say that, in a simpler way, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now listen, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So what he's telling you is don't worry about anything, worry about nothing, because you can pray about everything. That's simply what he's saying, real quick. Worry
exactly.
About nothing, because you can pray, because you can pray about everything, huh? Go ahead.
Take everything God in prayer.
Yep.
Well, to surrender everything is a hard time for me to do, to surrender everything.
Yeah, it is. It is sometimes, because a lot of times people become anxious. There's anxiety. We're going to stop right here tonight, and because we have... This program is loaded. We have so much to do. So let's do this. Go ahead. We're going to hear from Jan Porter.
Ever learning how a bill became a law?
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill.
Well, issue one is trying to make our laws using a different kind of bill. 58 million of them. From George Soros, New York millionaires, foreign billionaires, even blood money from partial birth abortionists. And all that money bought a lot of ads to deceive Ohio voters.
It also protects the essential reproductive medical care, like the miscarriage care that saved my own life, and access to birth control.
No, issue one was not about miscarriage care or birth control. It was about abortion until birth and bringing back partial birth abortion into our state. But issue one violates our state and federal constitutional right to life, which, according to Article 1, Section 1 of our Ohio Constitution, is inalienable. That's what our legislators swore to uphold. As the Supreme Court stated in the Dobbs decision, it's time to heed the Constitution and return the issue of abortion to the people's elected representatives, not to the mob with the most money. Just as we wouldn't put slavery to a popular vote, no matter the mob and no matter the money, inalienable rights and our children are not for sale to the highest bidder. While the courts are able to issue rulings, our state constitution grants the authority of the court's jurisdiction, that is, what they're allowed to rule on, to the state legislature. So while the pro-aborts are right now picking their favorite judge to strike down our protective laws, Article 4, Section 18 makes it clear. The jurisdiction of the courts is directed by law. The Constitution specifically says reining in out-of-control courts is the legislator's job. So let's call on the legislators to do their job, to use their constitutionally granted right to represent us, and to keep pro-abortion judges from repealing Ohio laws based on an amendment that doesn't even mention a single Ohio law. You see, the national strategy of the abortionists is to roll over the will of the people and our inalienable rights, just like they did in Michigan, Vermont, California, and they're planning to do all across the nation. But there is one state that is saying no. Foreign billionaires don't get to crush the will of the people and our inalienable rights. Representative Jen Gross and Bill Dean are standing against the abortion machine. Are you willing to stand with them? Ask your representative and senator, are you willing to use your constitutionally granted tools to stop the abortion machine? Or are you just going to talk about it? Make your first call to Senate President Matt Huffman. Then call on those in the State House to stand for the Constitution and prevent the courts from stripping us of all our laws and our inalienable rights.
I had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they woke to find their freedoms and all their charities had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. When the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way out. Is right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more flack. And we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore.
No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Some of us haven't been taking it at all. We've been fighting for 50 years. Anyhow, guess what's happening at this coming Friday, December 1st, at Doers of the Word Baptist Church. We're not gonna take it anymore. We're having a Tactical Civics meeting at 7 p.m. And Tactical Civics is showing you how we can take our country back one county at a time. And so, folks, I would encourage you to come, because we're serious. Now, you know, there's only about 3,400 counties in this United States, and we now have chapters in 1,000 of those counties where we, the people, are going to be taking our counties back, where we form a grand jury. That's right. We convene the grand jury. We, the people. And we place the corrupt politicians on trial. And that's right. And we convene a standing militia to enforce the grand jury. We, the people. Just like the Constitution says, we're going to take it back from the communists. And anyhow, and then this coming Sunday, every year we have our annual Geauga County Right to Life. And by the way, in Geauga County Right to Life has been part of saving over 24,000 babies from abortion. And so we're going to have our annual Christmas concert. That's the Geauga County Right to Life. There's no charge. And it's going to be held at the Chester Christian Center, at 11815 Chillicothe Road, Chesterland, Ohio. And folks, you're going to say, well, Pastor, how can you be there and here at the same time? Because you're always on the air at that time. Well, I'm gonna pre-record it, and Lord's willing, I will be there meeting and greeting all you folks out there. So that's this coming Sunday, the 3rd of December, 7 p.m., to Chester Christian Center at 11815 Chillicothe Road, Chesterland, Ohio, 44026. And tomorrow night, we're going to be doing something at the City Point Church at 4095 Kirtland Road in Willoughby. Tell us all about that, Nancy.
I'm so excited that you've given me the opportunity, Pastor. Thank you very much. Just like your song says, we're going to take our country back. So we're going to take our bodies back.
Yep.
Just what we read in Scripture, our bodies, our temples of the Holy Spirit. And they should not be defiled. And anyone that had been through the vaccine and the pressure, some people gave in to the pressure because they had to. Unfortunately, people had to have their livelihoods threatened to be taken away from them unless they took the shot, correct?
Yeah, a lot have. This is why we sent out thousands of forms in there for religious exemption forms. And many, many, many people used those and wrote us back and thanked us for it.
Yeah. I mean, I helped some college kids that came to me. I was surprised how – I'm surprised when – okay, I shouldn't be surprised. But when your child goes to college, you don't stop being a parent. And I myself, of course, we have four children. And, you know, there was no – we're a very old-fashioned kind of a family. The answer's no. No one's given in. We'll figure out how you all have to make a living. And, you know, thanks be to God. I have four children, two boys, two girls, two married, two not yet. And we were all blessed that God gave us the grace to handle the pushback, the threat, and we did it. And I'm proud to say, but I do know that many extended family members felt pressured due to work and so forth.
Yeah. What happened, Nancy, in our church, we had several people where the adult children refused to let their grandparents see their grandchildren unless they got the shot. These people got woke. The adult children, their indoctrination over the years through the media and, of course, the universities, but they refused to let their children or their let their grandparents see their grandchildren, which really caused a lot of hurt and harm.
Or they use the excuse, because I heard this from many. I heard the excuse, well, we can't go around grandma and grandpa because we might get them sick. Well, that's the worst thing, in my opinion, you could have done to my mom. My mom would have never gotten through that season of her life by not seeing her grandkids or seeing her family. And the government knew what they were doing there. They knew how to isolate, feel them isolated by themselves and depressed. And I'm very proud of my family that we resisted. I know I have friends that didn't resist, not that I don't love them the same. I love them just the same. A lot of them were the main breadwinners in their families. But I pray for them every day that nothing happens. Pastor, how much more can we see on the news to believe that it was not a vaccine that has caused these sudden deaths, correct?
Well, we've had some of the top virologists in the world on saying no. In fact, the fellow that invented it made it very clear it was a bioweapon. It was not a vaccine. It was a bioweapon. Let me tell you this, Nancy. Right here on this radio program, 3 weeks before the very first person took a shot, 3 weeks, tell her, Joe, we told you that it was not a vaccine. We told you that every single test animal died. Every single animal that was tested died. Do not get this.
Exactly.
It is not a vaccine. Now, that was 3 weeks before the first person took the shot. Boy, were we right.
And they had not even tried it out on humans.
Yeah.
They tried it on animals. They died, and they went right ahead and put it out there.
So I'm not so sure. I always pray for people that haven't seen the light, so to speak. I don't know how so many people could still want to debate me. And I said, I don't need to debate. Unfortunately, I'm going to pray for you. I hope you don't get sick. This gentleman that's coming in from It's called Safe Blood. He's coming to City Point Church this coming Saturday. He is a Christian, and he says, I want all people to hear our message, vaccinated or unvaccinated, because his organization is a grassroots effort. They're revolutionizing blood donation by connecting members with local mRNA free blood donors who will be there for you when you need them. And as a safe blood donor, if you decide to be a donor, because unvaccinated blood is in high demand. You agree to do the same. You'll be here for the safe blood community if and when you need blood. In other words, he's going to connect you in an emergency situation with a person with your blood type. And there'll be many in your area. He's not going to just find one or two. And he has worked with Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Corey. He has worked through the pandemic to show what a scam it was. And he is going around the country telling people, even if you're vaccinated, you need to know you can't get any more mRNA. As you know, they're putting it in the flu shots and so forth. Correct, Pastor? You do know that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So our Dr. Olders, O-H-L-E-R-S, will be at City Point Church at 6:30 tomorrow night, in Willoughby, Ohio. And he is going to go into stories, and this is how I found out about him. A personal friend of mine has a heart problem, and during COVID, she needed a routine heart valve replacement, heart valve tune-up, let's call it a tune-up. And she does it like every 8 to 10 years. And like usual, she gives her own blood for her procedure that she gets done so that it's ready. Well, she gave her own blood as usual. She's like one of us, and she was not vaccinated, devout Christian. And she gets a call from her doctor 2 weeks prior saying, yeah, everything's all set up and everything. She goes, well, they have my blood. I gave it to him. He says, well, you better give them a call. Something's wrong with your blood. She said, something's wrong with my blood. She calls them, and they tell her that her entire bag of blood clotted. She goes, well, how can my blood clot? It's never clotted before. I'm not vaccinated. They get back to her. They go, well, we're not sure what happened to it. We just don't know where it went. And she was, what? So she began to panic. She only has 2 weeks to go before her surgery. I said to her, Kathleen, okay, could someone else donate for you? They would not let her donate again because it was 2 weeks before her surgery. My husband is her type blood, A+. My husband offered. There was pushback from the doctor. Her own doctor said, well, you'll be fine. You know, she said, no, I'm not going to take any blood if they need it for the surgery. There's no guarantee you're going to need it, right? If the surgery goes fine, you're not going to need it. Well, they gave my husband pushback. My husband said, I don't care. I'm going to go donate. They're like, well, no, there's not an appointment. Excuse me, I'm fighting a cough here. You need an appointment by the time we type it, blah, blah, blah. The doctor said, all right, because my husband could be very pushy. Thanks be God. He went downtown to the Red Cross downtown. Nobody was even in the office at all. Excuse me. He walks in, gives the blood. We were told it was a wait. It was going to take time. Then they gave him the excuse. Okay, well, now we have it. We know what type you are. We'll make sure it gets to her. But we're not sure if it's going to get to her in time. Now she's very nervous. We find out 24 hours before the surgery, they have his blood. It's ready to go. Thanks be to God. She goes to surgery. They have his blood in the surgery ready to go. What she understands is his blood was running through her. They put it through the machine. I'm not a doctor. I don't know how to say this, but they're running it through the machine, through her and out again. They didn't need to give it to her, but it was constantly running. She didn't lose any blood. Once again, thanks be to God. 2 days later, she's feeling great. We're all sort of like, you know, making a little joke about it. Now you have my husband's blood, you know, now you're going to be a hot-headed Italian. We're making jokes about that, you know. And they walk into her room and they tell her, your blood pressure is extremely low. We need to give you some blood. She goes, well, you know, you didn't hardly use any of the blood. Where is my donor's blood? As they're reeling in a bag of blood, they said, well, well, we used it. She says, well, there was more. They said, well, no, it's been in the pump. They primed the pump. They disregarded it already. You'll be fine. You have low blood pressure. You have to take this blood. She says, well, is it life-threatening? And they said, well, no. She goes, well, what happens if I don't take it? They said, well, you've been here being for weeks trying to get your blood pressure up. She said, absolutely not. She said that they had the bag of blood, you know, with the IV, with the tube, ready to go to give it to her, blood that she did not want. This is a Cleveland Clinic. And her husband walked in and began to pray, and within 2 days later, her blood pressure was back to normal. Look at that. She had a fight not to get that blood, and she had to fight to even get my husband's blood for the first round, and then she had a fight to still resist getting the vaccinated blood. True story. That's how I came across this Dr. Oler, because she had contacted the situation. She was so mad she needed to tell someone the situation, what happened to her. And she found this Dr. Oler, who had him on his podcast, to say, well, if you ask them it's vaccinated or non-vaccinated blood, they will tell you, I don't know. So Dr. Oler is pushing to find, there is a test, and it's not perfected yet, that it can be tested. This is what he's working on, to finish and to refine, to test the blood that you may be getting right beforehand. But until then, he is the gentleman that will put you with donors in your area ready to go. You know what I'm trying to say, like an emergency situation?
Absolutely.
I'm not sure. Tomorrow he will go into it, but it can be stored. But the impression I got, and that's when we'll find out more tomorrow when he speaks, that it's better to have the donors ready in your area, ready to go for emergency situations. And then you know who the person is, they make the match, and you take it from there. Because, as you know, as I listened to the song that you just learned, the resistance is they're going to try to vaccinate all of us, if not today, somehow through the food, somehow through the a flu vaccine, or even through an emergency surgery. So that's what's going on tomorrow.
Well, I have a similar story to what you just told. I had my surgery on my shoulder last March, and the very same thing. I told them, look, prior to that, I said, I want to start giving blood. I want to make sure that I get my own blood. They said, well, you won't need any in this. The way we do it now, you won't need any. And I said, really? I never heard of that. And they said, no. In fact, they said, we've never had to give anybody in that operation. And I had a major operation to replace my whole shoulder and partway down my arm. And so I said, all right. I said, but I'm going to tell you this. I don't want any other blood than mine, and we better not need any, because if I get any of that vaccinated blood, well, I'm going to be very unhappy, okay? And so they knew what I meant. And so, and luckily, I had a very, very good surgeon. He knew what he was doing, and there you go. So it worked out really well. And I had called in prior when I had made that, and when I said I needed to do that, the woman, the nurse that I talked to, she took offense. I says, I want to make sure, one, that when I come in there, that I am not giving that kill shot, and without my knowledge. And she got a little upset, acting like, how dare you even suggest that we would do that? Now, here's why. I, too, went to the Cleveland Clinic. And look, here, about a year ago, the Cleveland Clinic came out and admitted, that if you took the shots, you were four times more likely to get COVID, and then you were four times more likely to die from COVID. Now, do you hear what I'm saying? The Cleveland Clinic came out, put out a public statement telling you that, and then they turn right around and tell you that the shots are available, you can come and get your shot.
They now, do.
I know that. Now, in other words, they're saying, look, it's not really important. Here's the message I got. It's not really that important whether or not you get COVID. As long as Big Pharma is making money, that's the important thing. That's the message I got when they came out with that.
So, absolutely.
And I can tell you, a lot of their employees refused to take the shot.
Well, that, I know
it sounds definitely everything big pharma. If it's for big pharma, good. If it's against big pharma, it's bad. Real simple.
Well said. Well said. We are in a mad scientist world. That's how I look at big pharma.
Well, you're not kidding.
Doctors, mad scientists, pharmacy, mad scientists, science. And their God is, even though there's science, you know, we believe in one God. We believe in Jesus Christ. But I remember when my husband had cancer and we were at the Cleveland Clinic and he denied the surgery that they wanted him to have when he had cancer. They wanted his prostate, bladder, porphyry, visceral, or chest out and all his lymph nodes. And we questioned them, and I'm so glad he's here today, 7 years later, with all four organs. We denied their treatment. We tried it once. It came back. My husband looks at me and goes, well, why do you go back to the people? They didn't cure you. I don't understand the system. Very simple thinking, but think about that. To keep on going back to the same people.
You know, when that happened, Bob Lynch called me and told me what was going on. And he came on the program, and we prayed for John over the air for coast to coast. We prayed for him with that cancer.
Thank you. And he's here 11 years later. So I feel, as you know, God puts things in your life so that you could handle something later, right?
Yeah.
And so going through cancer as a mom and as a wife, and as my husband and I have been married 33 years. When this vaccine came out, we saw the pompousness of Cleveland Clinic 11 years ago, how they almost laughed at us for denying his surgery. Couldn't believe we were not going to have his four organs out. Couldn't believe that we could thought that, you know, my husband really believed that God gave you a body and a body that could heal itself because God would not give you something inept. God knows what he gave you and how we should use it. And as we said in scripture, not to defile it. My husband said, I'm going to use God's ways to heal myself. And he did. And at Cleveland Clinic, you don't see one holy any. You don't see symbols of Christianity. You don't see any religious, hopeful signs. I remember crying when they came back with a prognosis that he came down with cancer a second time. And Mrs. Mara, we have to do the surgery. Mrs. Mara, he's gonna die. Mrs. Mara, blah blah. And the pressure on me to make that decision for him while he was still under, because they really wanted me to let him do the radical surgery. And then you look around and you see nothing but secularism. You see nothing that humble, nothing that looks to a higher being. And I have never been so leaning on God, carrying the cross. So when I think about that, when COVID came out, and my kids are telling me, well, Mom, they get this and that, and my boss says this and my boss said that. My kids stayed strong because I said, listen, guys, we've been through worse. I've been through a Cleveland Clinic debacle. This is not, none of us are taking this shot. And I said, let's pray for your friends, because a lot of my, even my daughter, who is 27, her young friends took it. And her young friends have these odd ailments. The one can't get rid of mono. Now she's, for like 2 years on and off mono. She doesn't know where this came from. Her other friend has mysterious now heartbeat. Was it when it's too fast? Is it tachycardia when it's too fast? And these are young people. And I think the government pastor actually, in my opinion, yes, they wanted to get rid of the old people, the older elderly. But I think they went after the very strong, like the athletes that are in exercise and they die, correct? We've heard of many of those incidences, haven't we?
Yeah, there's been a lot more than people realize. They've got no idea. We just played a clip about a week or so ago, went over that. It was called Kill Shot. Very, very enlightening, folks. It showed you. 81% of the women that were pregnant that got the kill shot miscarried. We had one of the victims, the father of one of the young girl who decided that she didn't want to have her, she's an 18-year-old, decided she didn't want her mother's OBGYN anymore. She wanted to have her own. So she went and got this new one who told her, she convinced her to take the shot. She took the shot and it killed her. And so you have more and more of that. I had a guy who was in his 50s call me, and he had gotten our newsletter. In the newsletter, we warned about the shot, and he was telling me that his four siblings, they were all, you know, from early 50s into 60, but they did everything together. I think there were three women and two men, or it might have been two women and three men, but anyhow, they did everything together. And when they decided that they were all going to go and get the shot, he said, no, don't do that. Listen, I'm telling you. He was telling her about our newsletter, and they said, if that was true, it'd be on the news. And he said, I'm telling you, don't get the shot. You don't want that. And all four of them went and got it, and all four of them died from it.
Oh, my God.
And so he called me, and he said, we have gotten, in fact, I just got a call Saturday from a woman who was crying, and she told me, she said, you saved my life. She said, your newsletter saved my life, Pastor. And so, anyhow, there you go.
Well, remember, you can save many lives just by listening to your program, by telling people. I guess we tell Lake County Liberty Coalition, we meet once one, just like once a month, like your Geauga Tea Party. We're here to spread that word that we need each other. We need to know where each other are. You know, just like when the Christians were in the catacombs, we have to come together. We need to know that if they're not going to vaccinate you, and if you're saying no, somehow they're going to try to figure out for all of us to get vaccinated. And God forbid that it's a surgery that you need and you get vaccinated blood and you don't know why you're feeling different or not right after your surgery. You don't know where their next mode of it or their next bombshell is, I guess. But this Dr. Oler is tomorrow night at City Point Church. He's going to go over what he has seen. Our first speaker, though, I don't want to forget that Elaine Connolly. You know what a great person Elaine Connolly is.
Yeah, Elaine's part of our church.
Right. So she's going to be speaking first, and she'll be Zooming in. And she will go into what she's been experiencing since she's been treating people with the shot and what she has experienced herself physically being around so many people that she's trying to help. She's a true patriot. She wants to help people, vaccinated, unvaccinated. She, you know, wants to bring everybody to the glory of God. And she'll be our first speaker, and she's going to tell us how she's feeling and what she thinks really is affecting her, even though, of course, she was herself not vaccinated, but how she's being affected by being shut upon by all these people.
Yeah, she's a contributor to this radio ministry. She sits in with me at least once a month.
Well, and great, because I found her 3 years ago when it was brand new. COVID was brand new. I went to, before I was the head of Lake County Liberty Coalition, I mean, it was the end of 19, beginning of 20, and I just hit it off with her. I said, hey, would you do some private talks? I mean, just going to homes? And she said, yes. And she gave me that power, and she gave me the confidence to say, I know I'm right. Like you said, Pastor, you put out your letter. You knew you were right. You knew.
We're coming up to a break, Nancy. And so
okay.
I want to tell the folks again, now you're welcome to stay over the next hour with us if you'd like. We're going to tell you one more time that tomorrow night at 6:30 at the City Point Church, and that's at 4095 Kirtland Road in Willoughby, Dr. Clinton Ellers, and of course,
Elaine Connolly.
Yeah, of course, Elaine Connolly, too, one of our own. Is there a phone number that you have? Because a lot of people out there might want.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like,
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
Long time no see.
No can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.